A word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the great gift of your holy word, and we pray that you'll speak to us now. Help us to be attentive. Give us minds and hearts that are open to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, I wonder, what is it that scares you? I don't mean spiders or creepy things like that. I mean, what do you feel threatened by? What keeps you awake at night? I guess if we're living in Paris at the moment, the answer to that is pretty obvious. We'd probably be frightened even to step outside the front door. I remember when there was the terrorist attacks on the Twin Towers in the States. I was working in the Canary Wharf complex at the time, and we had been trying to follow the news on the internet, which was just crawling because so many people were hitting it. So we caught a bit of the news on a television. We were just about three blocks down from the tallest building in Europe at the time, and we were allowed to go home early, and I took that opportunity. I ran, not physically, but I fled from that place. It was frightening to be there. But of course, many other things could frighten us. It could be that we've had an argument with a neighbour and we're fearing the next time that we will see them. We might be fearful for our children. Doesn't matter how old children are, parents still worry about them. It might be the fear of illness, waiting for the results of a test, dreading that awful C word, cancer. Or the fear of death, the last great enemy. We're all going to face that one day. What is it that keeps you awake at night? Let's face it, life can be scary at times. So how do we deal with our fears? One of the great things about the Bible is that it pulls no punches. It's openly honest about life and all its trials. And as we look at Psalm 56 today, we see it's no exception. It helps us to reflect on our fears by drawing us into the experience of King David. He was the man who wrote this psalm down many years ago. So please do turn to page 576. In the church Bibles. Let's look at this psalm again together. The first thing we see from it is that fear is actually a natural response to the things which threaten us. Fear is a natural response to the things which threaten us. You see, fear can be a good thing. It's a warning system. It tells us when we're to run from danger, like I ran from Canary Wharf. And that's what David is doing here in this psalm. He is running from danger. He feared for his life, and as a result, he ran. Why did he run? Well, because somebody powerful was out to get him, King Saul. And you may ask, well, what was King Saul's problem? Why did King Saul want to kill David? Well, because Saul himself was frightened. Saul saw David as a threat. But instead of Saul taking his fears to God, which is what he should have done, he tried to get rid of this threat by killing David. So that's why David is on the run, and you could read this in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And as he's frightened, David is fearing for his life, he's running, and things go from bad to worse for poor David. He ends up in an enemy city, the city of Gath, a Philistine city. And you remember Goliath, that rugby player type warrior? Well, he came from Gath, and all the people in Gath, when they recognized David, they thought, you are the person who killed our champion. So David's on the run again, now from two different sets of people. David has good reason to be afraid. So verses 1 and 2, he writes, Be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. Many are attacking me in their pride. Note the extent of the threat. All day long is repeated. It's there, it's also in verse 5. All day long I am under threat, says David. David is at his wit's end. But it gets even worse, verse 2. The threats to David, they're not just physical either. Notice how he describes his pursuers. He describes them as slanderers. Verse 5. All day long they twist my words. So as if physical intimidation wasn't enough, David has to face slander and negative propaganda. And that's an awful thing to face, isn't it, when people twist your words out of context, when they discredit you. No wonder David is in anguish. Fear is a natural response to things which threaten us. But you know, this threat which David faces isn't just any old threat that all of us face. It's a particular rebellion against God that's going on here. Remember, David is God's chosen king. He's been anointed by God. And so the people who are out to get David are actually rebelling against God. And if we think about it, those terrorists blowing up and shooting innocent people in Paris, they too are rebelling against God. They might try and argue that they're serving God in a twisted way, but they are wrong. But we all rebel against God in many ways, and that's the source of the problem. But we see a rebellion against God going here, and I want to just take a moment to draw a parallel between the experience of David and Jesus. David was God's anointed king. But Jesus is the son of David. He is the ultimate king from God. He is more anointed, if you like, than David. And we saw in that second reading, didn't we, the threats to Jesus. In Luke's gospel, Jesus was so scared in that Garden of Gethsemane that he sweated blood. He was terrified. Because of all the rebellion against God, he was about to take all of that on himself as he died on the cross. Think about it, enduring all the consequences of human sin. No wonder Jesus was petrified. So Jesus, like David, had good reason to be afraid. Fear is a natural response to things which threaten us. So when we feel afraid, we're in good company. It's not unchristian to feel frightened. It's a natural thing to feel in a fallen world, a world that has rebelled against its creator. The world's a scary place. So when I ask, what is it that scares you? Well, it could be many things. Perhaps you're thinking of travelling to London and you're worried about terrorism. Or perhaps it is waiting for the result of a medical test. Perhaps there's relationship breakdown or poverty, lack of hope. But all of us face that scariest thing of all. At the end, we all face death. Death is the consequence of our rebellion against God. And unless God steps in to deal with the problem of death, the prospect is frightening. Death is scary. So fear is a natural response to things which threaten us. What do we do then with this fear? Well, how did David respond and Jesus respond? Because that's how we too should respond. And it can be summed up as faith is the Christian response to things which threaten us. Faith is the Christian response to things which threaten us. And we see that in verses 3 and 4. What does David say? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. There we have the correct response to fear, a turning to God in faith. Well, let's think about why that's an appropriate response in a moment, but just notice something about verses 5 to 8. I find it quite fascinating. David, having just said in verses 3 and 4, I will trust in you, God, he then goes back to being scared in verses 5 to 8. So verses 3 and 4, David says, I will trust in you, God, I will not be afraid. Verses 5 and 6, he returns to say, oh gosh, but all day long they're out to get me. Well, that's what trusting in God is like. It can be a bit up and down. Even the most devout Christian can have off days when the old doubts and fears come flooding back. It is normal. One lady I knew a few years ago, she had a very extreme view of faith. And, she said if you had faith, you wouldn't doubt about anything or have any fear at all. Not true faith, she said. She was very extreme. And so if you were scared of something or said you had a doubt, well, you were just too worldly and ought to pull your socks up and repent. That is not genuine Christian experience. Genuine Christian experience brings with it ongoing fears and doubts. David was a great man of faith, and yet he frequently felt anguish and responded by crying out to God. And that's the thing to do when we're scared or when we doubt. So we don't despair and give up for good. We go on trusting in God. Saul, when he was frightened, did not go to God. He rebelled against God all the more by plotting to kill God's anointed, David. David, though, does the opposite. David simply commits his cause to God in faith, bringing everything that's threatening him and just laying it out to God and just saying, I can't cope. Help. And he asks God to act against those who are in rebellion against his anointed one, verses 7 and 8. And then verses 10 and 11, he comes back to that place of trust again, saying, in God I trust. No, I will not be afraid. Sometimes you might feel that your faith is under threat or pretty weak, full of fears and doubts. Well, do what David did. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The life of faith is a bumpy ride. There will be good days, there will be bad days. But keep on coming back to God. And notice what the psalm also says. His word, the word of God. And as we do that also, if we're worried about our faith not being strong enough, just remember that faith doesn't depend on how strong we feel, but on God's faithfulness to us. Which brings us back to our second point this morning. Faith is the Christian response to things which threaten us. Why can we have faith at all? Because God is faithful and has promised us great things. Let's look at the last two verses of the psalm. David writes, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Despite all those threats, God acted to save his anointed one. So David's faith was well placed. Therefore, verse 12, he can say thank you to God for saving me. Verse 13, you have delivered me from death. And the same, of course, was true for King Jesus, who sweated blood and ended up going to the cross, trusting in his Father. And the result, he was raised to life on the third day, just as the Father had promised. The same pattern holds true for anyone who trusts in God. Because Jesus died for our sins, we can be confident that we too will be raised from the dead if we trust him. So that greatest thing that we fear, death, well, we don't have to be frightened of it. God the Father has promised that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we do not need to fear death. The Christian has eternal life. And we can look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which proves it. It's also what Jesus promises us, isn't it? John 8, verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we can make this psalm our own and echo verses 12 and 13 for ourselves. I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. At the end of the day, faith means trusting in God's promises to us, particularly that promise of eternal life. So you see, we might still face threats now, but they've all lost their power over us. So with David, we can say two things in response to all of this. At the end of verse 4 and the end of verse 11, he says, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can any man do to any one of us if we trust in Jesus?" God has promised that those who turn to him have the light of life, and no human threat can take that away from us. No threat in the whole universe can take it away from us. Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? We've been delivered from death to life. What can man do to us? And secondly, look at the second line in verse 13. The Lord keeps our feet from stumbling. What that means is in this life, amongst all the threats, the Lord will ensure that we are able to withstand them, because we're journeying with him, walking with him to the heavenly kingdom. So what keeps you awake at night? What threatens you? When we wake up next time in the middle of the night and things just seem so awful, remember that the Lord Jesus is right there with us. He will keep our feet from stumbling. He gives us the light of life. Therefore, what can any person or perceived threat actually do to us? God is for us. He has covenanted himself to us, and he is faithful. And all the evidence is that God is on our side. We look to the cross and resurrection. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Let's pray. Father, in a fallen world with all the awful stuff going on around us, we pray that you would help us to take our fears to you and to look to you in faith, and know that we belong to you, and that you will see us through all hardships and bring us to everlasting life in your kingdom. We pray again for all those in turmoil in Paris. Draw out your words of eternal life and comfort to them now. In Jesus' name, amen.